Stay tuned for a very important announcement regarding food poisoning.
The peas, the celery sticks, the meat and the fish will make you sick.
All the food is poison, all the food is poison.
The apples, tomatoes, wheat and the corn, all the food is poison. Don't eat the food, it's poison food.
All the food is poison, all the food is poison.
The onions, the pickles and the melons too, even the pasta and the turkey are contaminated food. Don't eat the food. Chicken.
Poison.
Barley.
Poison.
White rice. Baked beans. Duck l'orange.
Poison.
Sunflower seeds.
Poison.
Radicchio. Hummus. Oranges.
Poison.
Pasta avocado.
Poison.
Your dad's barbecue brisket.
Poison.
Horse meat.
Poison.
Snout. Little babies.
Poison.
Fingernail. Cigarette burn.
Poison.
Scabs.
Poison!
Napple, 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 napple.
Poison!
Try to figure out something else to eat. I'm out of here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Ron.
In the flesh.
Ron in the flesh. Great.
Hi, Ron.
How are you doing, sir?
Terrific. Thank you for coming
on the podcast, Ron.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So the podcast is called Rim Crim, and I'm Corey, and this is Dylan, and we're calling you tonight from...
Who's Dylan?
I'm Dylan.
I'm Corey.
Okay, and you're Dylan. Okay.
Okay, and you are Ron... We know you as Pierre from Tim and Eric. Awesome show. Great job. And various other Tim and Eric things. But we want to know the man behind Pierre. So.
Well, what would you like to know?
Well, so much. Where do we start? I mean, you know, obviously the first question that we have is what's your dad like, right? That's the first question. How often do you get that question, Ron?
I get that question quite often. I think you probably know that, but
I do.
That's a common question.
Okay. So let's start off with where we are. So we're here in Toronto, Canada. Where are you based?
Oh, fabulous, Toronto! I can't wait to get to Toronto.
Have you been?
I'm based in LA.
LA.
Yeah, I generally say LA because when people ask what part of California, there's San Francisco up north, there's San Diego in the south, there's L.A. in the middle. And if I say I'm from Orange County, California, a little neighborhood known as Garden Grove, they wouldn't have a clue. But I'd say it's probably about 35 miles or 50K out of L.A., so in the general L.A. vicinity. So I just tell them L.A.
Cool.
We've actually heard of Orange County. It's famous.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of a reputation. As a matter of fact, I've got a rep myself down in this negative woods. I'm known as the OC player.
The OC player.
Oh, wow.
Well, how did you get that moniker? That
we got to know.
Oh, it's a long story. It would take quite a while, but let's just see if I can sum it up in maybe 5 words or less.
Yes, go ahead.
I love the OC. And, I think it's a great place to live. A lot of people call it the boondocks, but that's only because they're more familiar with the high-end areas of L.A., mm-hmm. but it's a really cool area. We've got cities that you might have heard of, like Newport Beach.
Yeah, of course.
And Huntington Beach and Anaheim, home of Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the Orange County cities. And I've been here since I got here, which was probably before you were born. That means if you're 38 or under, you were probably being born or just about to be born by the time I got here. 38 years ago.
And 38 years ago, before those 38 years that you've been there, where were you before? Where did you come from?
I hail from a region known to the world as the Midwest. You probably heard that term once.
Oh, yeah.
I would say if you go due north of the Midwest state that I'm from, or the state that I grew up in, you'd probably run right into Toronto.
Due north, so Michigan.
You ever heard of Ohio State University?
Of course.
The Buckeyes. Okay, that's where I grew up. Now, I wasn't born there, but I was born in the next-door neighbor state that we know as West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bunch of mountain folk. We got a lot of mountains in West Virginia, country folk there. So down in my toes, as I tell everyone, thank God I'm a country boy.
You're a country. So, Ron, so you're a country boy. So was your family were country folk? Were they sort of simpler folk than you are now?
I would say, yes, quite a bit. I started out the first 9 years of my life I spent with my grandparents before moving to Ohio to live with my mom, who had left me a number of years back, came back to pick me up a few years later. And I continued growing up in Ohio, where I got rid of my country slang. You know, them bar heels. You ever heard of them bar heels?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And y'all, you ever heard of y'all?
Oh, yeah. All the time. You know, y'all is just something that, everybody says y'all. I think everybody says y'all because it sounds nice. It's fun to say.
Yeah, well, it sounds country to me, but you all is a little bit more proper. I studied under the auspices of a bunch of nuns there at one point in my life. So, you know what? If you study under nuns, if you know anything about nuns, you ever see, what's that movie called?
Sister Act.
Actually, that's one, but I was going to say John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. What was the name?
Blues Brothers.
Now, that's the kind of activity that we had going on. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, but they really make sure you knew your business when you finally left there.
So, Ron, you're growing up around there. You're in the showbiz business now. Mm-hmm. What was your first exposure to something that made you say, "Wow, that's cool!" You know, that's a really cool movie, show, piece of music. What first gave you that bug?
I really enjoy answering that question. I'm glad you asked because I can recall. You see, when I was born and grew up with my mom, my grandma, and granddad for the first few years of my life, they were what we call Baptist folk. And if you know anything about Baptists, they've got an ability to hold a note and carry a tune. And in my Sunday school classes, I would, in those little kids' classes, like you go to see your kid and the little kid he play when he's in the first grade, and you're saying, man, I don't want to have to do this, but, you know, I'm obligated. So I started out in Sunday school and little kiddie plays. And I recall my Sunday school teacher designate people to have certain parts in the group, you know, like the sheep. There were the sheep on one side, and there was a shepherd. I remember screaming, I don't want to be a sheep. I want to be a shepherd. Mm-hmm. I want to lead this flock. Okay? I think that might have started the beginning of my, acting career. There's a scripture in the Bible that goes something like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You've probably heard that before.
As I walk through the shadow of death?
They addressed it a little bit different later on down the road. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because I am the meanest that I doubt in the valley.
You probably heard
that one.
That's Pulp Fiction.
Well, I didn't quite go that far with it, but about that time is when I started to learn how to memorize lines. You know, my grandma was teaching me this. Trying to teach me that, and I couldn't remember the lines. I was so upset and frustrated there that I couldn't remember the lines, but I remember going to bed that night. I woke up the next morning, I could smell the food cooking down in the kitchen. I remember running down to her and saying, Grandma, I got it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restored my soul. And so on and so on and so on. You know, I think that began my acting career.
Right.
And just as time went on, you know, I became more and more fascinated by the ability to be able to act. You know, to be an actor has a unique quality about it. A lot of people think, oh, acting is so easy, all you got to do is... No, there's a lot more to it than being able to just remember memorize a line. You have to actually become a certain character, which, by the way, when I auditioned for the role of Pierre, I had not a clue what T&E would try. T&E, that would be Tim and Eric.
Oh, yeah.
I had not a clue what they wanted from me because I had never seen that show. You know, I often tell people I'm old school. And if it wasn't for the fact that I do this for a living, mm-hmm. I get paid to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just go along with the program when they're paying you. If it wasn't for that fact, after finding out what this was all about, this, what do they call that, the Adult Swim segment there, I wouldn't have touched it with a 10-foot pole, or in your case, a 10-meter pole. But I auditioned for the role, you know, and they called me in, and they said, we want you to read this script. And heaven forbid I even wonder what that script was all about.
Right.
But
did it have, was it, what was the first script? Was it Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo?
I think it probably had something to do with that, you know, somewhere along that line, you know. Mm-hmm. They called me in because they were looking for a unique character I submitted for the role because it sort of fit my profile, you know, black man and good looking and so on and so on and so on. I thought, hey, that's me.
So you saw a black man and you saw good looking and you said, okay, that's me.
Now, let's face it, you know, in this racket here, they don't hire you for, you can't play prejudice or racist or any type of that along that line in this game here. No. It's basically what they need. I mean, it doesn't really matter what your color is, which I'm proud to be able to watch that.
Of course.
You know, the color to me in this world, the primary color to me in this world is green, or at least in my case. It's a number of different colors up in your neck of the woods, but...
Yeah.
Green, you know what I mean? That Moolah.
We know about Moolah, right? Not yet, but on this podcast, but hopefully, because we have your star power, Ron, we'll be seeing some soon. But we know you as one of the more musical players in the Tim and Eric universe, right? What's your background? What was your background in music before?
I'm so glad you asked. Okay. I'm coming around to that because that would bring me to the musical aspect of my life.
Okay.
I am a singer and a performer, a musical performer. And I don't play an instrument. I'm sorry to have to admit. I spent 10 years taking piano lessons. I still don't play the piano.
You don't need to. You don't need to, Ron. You have your singing voice and you have your charisma and your confidence.
Keep talking. Don't interrupt him. Let him talk here.
No, you know, you pop off the screen, so to speak, right?
So
we're going to start from the beginning again. Who are your influences? Who are your musical idols?
That's a good question because I like to touch on going all the way back to my childhood and when I was living with grandma. You know, her son, my uncle, used to have his own room in our house. But he worked in the daytime on the railroad. Mm-hmm. And in the daytime when he was gone, I would slip into his room. He had a what we call the record player back in those days, you know.
We know a thing or two about those.
You know about records. I would put on some of the old school records from a lot of the old singers. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear that. Look at you.
he's Dylan's showing you his massive record collection.
That's just one show.
Ron, you've never spoken to anybody.
I love you, man. Have you ever heard that term? I love you, man.
You've never talked to somebody with more records than Dylan. Okay. How many records do you think you have, Dylan?
Oh, I've lost count. I don't know.
10,000.
You don't even have to say because, like I said, I can just see that you're my kind of guy.
Cool.
Now I would put these records on and I would listen to them. Different artists, you know, some of the old time artists, like, for instance, Dylan, you probably heard of Sam Cooke.
Of course, Sam Cooke.
Amazing soul.
It's Live in Harlem is one of his best.
Change is gonna come. Chain Gang.
Chain Gang. Chain Gang is my favorite. Sam Cooke.
He's got it. That's the man.
Yeah.
That's the sound of the men working on the Chain Gang.
Amazing. Oh.
I love those songs. Okay, well, that's how I sort of developed this ability to carry a tune, okay? Mm-hmm. I just enjoyed music. Right. Now, as I got older, after I had moved to Ohio and I was growing up, I recall going to one of the little teen nightclubs one night. And I just happened to be in there having a good time with all some of my friends and whatnot. And they had a performance going on. There were five young fellas on the stage that looked sort of like the Temptations.
Okay.
Remember Temptations?
Of course, of course.
And as I looked close at these guys, I realized, I know those guys. Those are my buddies, you know?
Oh, cool.
And they were spinning and they were doo-wopping and singing and the girls were just screaming and it just blew me away. I said, I have got to get into some of that. At that point, I set out to form my own musical group. And it took a while, but I formed a group and we had five men in it. I got to show you a picture sometime. I don't think we have one. You don't have that picture of what we look like. Remember that?
It's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook?
Okay.
Okay, well, I want you to take a look at this picture and it's going to just take your breath away. Now, if we can find it. And it took time. I had to audition different guys, and some came, some went. But I finally found a group that actually fit the bill.
So you really crafted this first group.
Well, let's just say.
Hang on one second.
Okay, now she's going to show you. I don't know if
you can see it.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Which one? Ron is right here. It's on the Facebook page, but that's Ron right there.
On the far left.
No, he's next to the guy with the big afro. Ron's got his hand under his chin.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that looks more like him.
And guys, that voice, that's you, London, right?
Yes, hi, it is.
Hi, London.
Hi, London.
That's my favorite PR rep here you're talking to.
Favorite PR rep. Hey, London. Hey.
Yeah, all the PR reps, she's my favorite. And matter of fact, I can't tell you how thankful I am and how blessed I am to have her working in my, shall I say, within the realm of my quest to become rich and famous.
Well, you know, she's doing a great job. I had a really, really positive experience working with her to arrange this interview. So, hi, London, and thanks. We're gonna get back to you later. Ron, keep going about your group. So you started this group. What's the name of the group?
Do you have any albums out that I can find?
Oh, actually, we never got around to an album. That particular shot you saw right there just then was we were backstage just getting ready to go on a performance there, and that little fellow you saw in there, he was the youngest of the group at that time. You heard of Jackson 5?
Of course.
I was about to say, it reminded me of the Jackson 5 with the little guy.
Okay, there you go. Okay, we were the Jackson 5 that didn't make it. I mean, well, actually, we didn't get anywhere near what the J5 got, but we were pretty much identical to them. We sounded like them. That young fellow, that little fellow, you know, he's now my writer and director of the group that I now work with in today's society. Mm-hmm. Because I reestablished the group after many years. I reformed it. But these guys, some of these guys I know, they're like my brothers. I've been with them for about 50 years. That little guy now, he's about 54, 52, something like that now. Because I don't want to tell you how old I am. But he's my writer and my director of the now group that I have, that I'm rolling with now. And it's called Silk and Satin.
Silk and Satin. What was the name of the group? What was the name of the group that you established in Ohio? What was your name?
That group was called the Mystics. M-Y-S-T-I-C, the Mystics, yeah.
And who coined that name? You?
We heard that name?
Who coined it? Who came up with that name? You?
I think I did. Yeah, I generally came up with the names of the groups. It was my operation, so it was up to me to come up with a right name, you know. But then we had a group that came out of Cincinnati, Ohio, who actually beat us to the punch in recording a record under that name. So we were forced to give up that name. Broke my heart. I said, "How dare you?" But they beat us to the punch. They got a record out under that name before we did. So I think I forget what we became after that. The Jades, J-A-D-E-S, or something like that. I can't recall. But we went on from there and. This was about 1972, right along in there. Where were you in 72?
And were you doing mainly R&B or doo-wop, and were you guys playing your own instruments, or did you have a backing band?
We we had a backup band. That was a good, cool thing about that, because that's why I say I'm more apt. You're more likely to see me on the front line or out front leading mm-hmm. the audience. I'll let the guys with the instruments do the work back there. And mm-hmm. But then I'm working myself when I'm sliding back and forth across that stage and trying to keep the audience pumped up. You know what I mean? And of course, I got to do a little harmonizing, a little do. But you're right about that. Doo-wop and the R&B. I cut my teeth on what we call Motown sound.
Of course.
But now let's not forget, though, I started my roots way back when with some of the down-home old-school guys. Dylan, do you know of a guy named, what's the guy's name? I can't think of his name right now. I'll think of it in a moment. But
Marvin Gaye?
No.
He would be part of Motown.
Yeah.
But Temptation, do you ever hear of a fellow named Eddie Kendricks?
Yes. Yes.
We're familiar.
Okay. Eddie Kendricks was the tenor and lead singer, one of the lead singers, but he was a tenor. I patterned my style after Eddie Kendricks. That soft falsetto. That falsetto. You know?
Yeah.
And that was my idol. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of patterned everything after him. And you probably heard songs like, "Just My Imagination, Running Away With Me," you know?
Yeah.
That was Eddie. So that's pretty much, but then I always had this thing for having that falsetto voice, you know? And as you can see, that would probably have established my musical career.
Right. So that's your musical career. That's your musical career. So, and then what led you into acting?
Well, that's a good question. Like I was saying, remember that Sunday school when I wanted to be a shepherd?
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, like I said, in order to be an actor, of course, you definitely have to know how to memorize lines.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to actually come out of body and become someone else. That's where that acting thing works. In fact, that Pierre character, now that is me as a fella known to the world as Pierre.
Of course.
I had to develop that character. This is about the acting. But I recall as I grew older and became more fascinated by the acting world, I got into the neighborhood, their playhouse, you know, the playhouses, the neighborhood community playhouses, and I did a few plays, and I don't have any memorabilia from that.
Did you do any Shakespeare?
No, but I'm glad you asked that question, because I tell you what, that is one of my goals and dreams. Before I leave, I want to be able to do a little bit of Shakespearean here and there, so... Look for me, you know. As a matter of fact, I'm really looking forward to coming to your neighborhood, because I love you guys up there. Love everybody from B.C. to Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Prince Edward Island, New Brunswick, Quebec, Ontario, you know what I mean?
That's almost all of them. That's almost all the provinces, Ron.
You nailed it.
Let's not forget none of it. You know none of it?
You can never forget none of it. Never forget the Northwest Territories either, right?
I thought I might throw that in there with you. Now, speaking of territories, what you got on the west side? You got the Yukon and Northwest Territories, but there's a specific place I love so dearly, mm-hmm. and not that I don't love you all, but B.C.
Yes.
Beautiful B.C. They've got a place up there. They've got a studio up there. That I'm so looking forward to working with some of the gang up there. You might have heard the name Lionsgate.
Lionsgate, yes, of course.
Lionsgate, yeah. I'm really looking forward to maybe doing some work with Lionsgate at some point in time.
What kind of work would you do with Lionsgate?
Well, you know, I cover quite a bit. So drama, comedy, mm-hmm. you know. What I'd like you to do, if you get an opportunity, you may or may not know already, but if you go on Google, type in my name, it's going to give you a complete... there are a lot of different clips. You can just pick and choose the clips that you like to watch, and I think you'll get a bang out of that. So I want you to go in there and take a look when you get an opportunity.
Cool.
And then pass the word, of course.
So Ron, this is for our listeners, right? Who are gonna eat this interview up. They're just gonna, you know, I think, you know, I know you have a really loyal Facebook following too. So I think they're going to really, really dig, you know, this interview that we're doing. So, you know, maybe you can tell us, like, what was the first, you know, on-screen role that you had? Do you remember that?
Oh, now that's a hell of a question.
Go as far back as you can remember. What was the first memorable role on screen?
Okay. There was a show... There was You've seen the judge, those judge type shows, there,
yes,
right?
Yes, Judge Judy, you know, Judge Joe
Judge
Brown.
Judge Judy's my favorite girl in the world. Favorite girl in the world. But there used to be a show back on, and back in my hometown, back in Columbus. When I got into the business, you know, like I said, I started out with playhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And as I sort of advanced, I began to do little things on television. I got a little role on this particular show that was ironically, I can't quite remember the name of it, but it was the same as a judge show. It was in front of a judge. And ironically, one of the plays that I worked in, I actually worked with the judge who was the sitting, who was presiding on that show. I actually worked alongside him in one of the community playhouses. So
mm-hmm.
we got to be pretty tight. He's probably gone, long gone by now. But I'm going to say that's probably some of my first screen work.
So you were, were you like a defendant, or were you like one of the bailiffs on the show? Like, were you on his show?
I think I was a juvenile delinquent.
Oh.
something along that line.
So you were playing a role on the judge show.
There you go.
And you were pretty young at the time.
What's that?
You were pretty young at the time. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, pretty young. I'm going to say somewhere in the neighborhood of about 23, right around there. Because I recall leaving mm-hmm. that state to come west. We have a saying that you might have heard of once or twice that goes, "Go west, young man."
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I decided, you know, I was supposed to have been an athlete. You know, I played ball back in my young days.
Baseball or basketball?
Actually, it was football.
Football, okay.
Yeah, more football, a little bit of all of it, but primarily football.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes think I should have just stuck with that, but for some reason or another, you know, I always say life is circumstantial. Somehow or another, things change, and you end up going down a different path in life.
No, Ron, you chose the right path. This is, you know, we love the path you've taken, my friend.
Well, you know what? Keep talking. Don't interrupt you. Let him talk.
See? You know, I know how to do it. I know how to feed the beast.
Well, I have a strong love for the military. So I was supposed to have been an Air Force pilot. And somehow or another, I guess circumstances took me down a path that ended up putting me in the role of a family man, family-oriented sort of a guy. So next thing you know, I'm settling down, going to work every day, raising a family. Didn't get a chance to go into that military like I wanted. So I remember thinking to myself, as much as I love my military, and I support the military, I didn't get the chance to do it. So I might as well just do the next best thing. Go be rich and famous.
And Ron, when you were a family man, what were you doing? What was your job?
I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, interestingly enough, I was a get up, go to work, 9-to-5 kind of guy.
Yeah, and that seems surprising for you.
It does. I wish I had a picture to show you of back in my day what I looked like because I had one job where I worked in a dirty, greasy machine shop.
Ooh.
Which I'm proud to announce that I'm what we'll call mechanically inclined. You know, right. I have the ability. A lot of these actors up there wouldn't know what a hammer is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't really need to know. Elton John doesn't need to know what a hammer is.
No.
But I always say I'm a what we call an all-around kind of guy. You know, I'm a little bit. I'm handy. You know, I've dropped a few engines in cars, and I've built a few platforms and done quite a few things, and I'm pretty good with operating heavy machinery and hand tools, that kind of thing. So now that comes from my country roots back in West Virginia. Remember, by the way, we have a saying that we use down in West Virginia. We call it West by God. You ever heard that term?
No. What does it mean?
West by God, Virginia.
West by God, Virginian. Like God, God-given. So like God-given sort of talents.
Now, you know, I could never ask, just try to figure out where it came from. I just know it's a term that us country boys use, and it's called West by God.
Okay, Ron.
Thank God I'm from West by God.
Okay, so you do the judge show. When you come out to California, though, let's come out to California. So, you know, what was the sort of first acting or music thing that you get into here? Or were you still doing, did you move out to California to do the showbiz thing? Was that the goal?
That was the plan. Like I said, I decided since I missed my military career, I might as well just go be rich and famous, since I had a little bit of what we'll call, I like to think of as talent. But in order to be able to do it, I had to, what we'll call, go where the action is, so to speak. You know, you ever heard the term, you can't, the mountain's not coming to Muhammad, so Muhammad's got to go to the mountain.
I haven't heard that term, but that, that makes sense. I know the story of Muhammad, so I get that.
Dylan's shaking his head. Dylan's shaking his head. Tell him about it, Dylan.
could we say it's a biblical term?
Thank you. Quranic.
Muhammad going to the mountains.
See, Corey skipped Sunday school, but I actually attended.
Hey, well, don't worry. He's got us to teach him a few things. So, hey, don't worry about it.
Was Muhammad in the Quran or in the Bible?
Quran.
Quran, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it doesn't really matter who went to the mountain. The point of the matter is the mountain's not coming. You've got to go to the mountain.
Okay, so you come to the mountain. You come to the mountain, Ron.
And did you find it? Did you find it like a struggle at the beginning, or was there plenty of work when you arrived?
What was the first thing you tried to do when you got to sunny California IA to be in showbiz?
Well, I'm glad. Let's just take it step by step because I had to find a strategy. You know, I mean, I just can't just up. I remember I had a little family with me. I couldn't just up and take off, leave the family like some people have done, been known to do. That's not my style.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had to put together a strategy. Now, first thing I had to do was talk it over with the wife and discuss it with her and let her know what my plans are, what I would like to do, and get her to agree to come along. Because we had some children.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the youngest daughter was about due at the time that I left. But the plan was to close up shop, come out here, and here's a good way to analyze that. You ever heard of a fellow named Billy Joel?
Of course.
I know you had. I just thought I'd throw that at you.
Yeah.
So he had a song that goes something like, "Got a fur." How does that go? Close up shop, sold a house, bought a ticket to the West Coast.
Dun, 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 dun,
along that line and you'll understand exactly what my whole program mm-hmm. was, because that's exactly what I did. I closed up shop, quit my job. I put the family away safe while I came out here to search for work.
Right, and that song is called My Life, right? My Life, it's my life.
Hey, you're on point, huh? Okay, first objective was to come out here and land a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to leave the family back there while I came out because I was not about to bring a family out here to a place I had never been with no job and three little mouths.
Right.
I'm not stupid. I might be crazy, but I'm not stupid. So I came out here and I got a job building airplanes and rockets.
Okay,
you've probably heard of a place called, a company called Boeing.
Yes.
Okay. Boeing 747.
747, there you go. Huh? I think someone made a song about a 747. But anyway, it wasn't called Boeing when I got here. It was called McDonnell Douglas. You ever heard that term? That name?
Were they also making military parts?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, we're making F-4 Phantom jets and F-14s and quite a bit of other equipment. But we also built rockets. You know, some of those rockets that plant satellites in orbit. So that allow for you to be able to do what you're doing right at this moment there, talk to us via satellite.
That's
right.
Correct.
I might have worked on one of the rockets that put the satellite in orbit that's allowing us to talk to each other nowadays. But
maybe.
I would put money on it that you did.
Ron, what's your favorite plane?
My favorite what?
Favorite kind of plane or type of plane.
Airplane.
Okay, I hate to do this to you, but now we talk for commercial or military?
Oh, let's go military. Let's go military.
And then commercial.
Military and then commercial.
Okay, well now if you recall, I told you a little while back I was planning to become a pilot in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
I missed my call, but I was planning to fly a fighter, F-16. Okay, that was my favorite, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I got quite a few different planes that I enjoy. If you're into aviation, we can talk planes. Okay.
This is a brief aviation segment.
It's a sidebar.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, if you're asking about my favorite commercial plane, I'm going to say there's one out of that Airbus out of Europe is building. They call it A380. Have you heard of it?
A380.
Look that up.
I think I might have been on one. I'm not sure. It's a big plane, right?
It's a big double decker. I love it.
Oh,
yeah.
The double decker. Okay.
So the bigger the better.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. 747 is a nice plane, but now that's Boeing. Now, don't forget, I started with a company called McDonnell Douglas. They made planes through it like DC-10, DC-9. Yeah. Matter of fact, I worked on the DC-9 and 10 and the 8. So, as I was saying, I got a job building planes, and that afforded me the opportunity to earn enough money to bring my family out. Okay. Once I brought them out here, we set up shop. And as I worked every day to put food on the table, I sort of pursued my career, as you will, my acting career. And the first thing I had to do was find out how to break into an industry that doesn't really want me there anyway. And if you probably don't understand what that means, but I'll break it down to you.
Please tell the audience.
That's a closed circuit industry. The more people that, and everybody wants to be a star.
Right.
But not everybody can be one, and so they try to keep that star thing and to a minimum. You know, they don't like everybody in there because it's a unique group of people. So they've got ways of keeping you out of there. So the first thing you have to do is figure out how am I going to break into an industry that doesn't really want me there? Well, first off, I'm an actor. Second off, I've got determination, and I've come this far, and there'll be no stopping me. I'm coming in whether you like it or not. So get ready for a new star in your crowd.
Right.
But it took time to do that. You know, I had to set out on a journey on how do I break into this industry. I'm going to give you a little clue as to how I actually, the first step toward breaking into this industry. You ever heard of a little gal named Elvira?
Yeah, she did the horror stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah. Big Blue, the whole shape and all. You know how goofy she acts. I remember one night I was watching her. She made this funny little comment about a bunch of jerks they sent over from Central Casting. You may have heard the term Central Casting, or you may not, but when she said Central Casting, that sort of set me on a light went off in my head. Central Casting is a group of people that sends out extras to be part of a movie or a TV shoot, you know, extra work, okay?
Yeah.
That would be the way that I would suggest to anyone when they ask, how would I want to get in this industry? I say, find you an extras company, sign up with them, let them start to send you out on sets. You get paid to do it. And, of course, at that time, I felt this is an opportunity for me to get to learn how things work behind the scenes and what goes on those sets.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a good number of years doing extra work, but I had an objective. See, because the main objective of any extra is to get into the union.
Yes. SAG.
Once you get into the union.
And AFTRA, right?
There you go. I think, what's it called up your neighborhood? I forget what it's called up your neighborhood.
ACTRA.
ACTRA. That's it. ACTRA. A-C-T-R-A.
Correct.
Okay, SAG here. But that's the main objective. Once you get, but that's a hard thing to do. It's a catch-22. In order to be able to get in the union, you're required to get yourself a union job. But in order to get a union job, guess what?
You gotta be in the union.
Yeah, hey. So you gotta pay your dues, right?
There you go. That's how they keep you out.
Okay, so you eventually get into the union. Right?
You did those little jobs that sort of got you the accreditation as it's called.
Well, that would be one way of looking at it there, because see, like I said, remember it's a step by step process. You get into the union, that opens up doors for you. Now, one of the doors that opens up for you is the opportunity to be able to land yourself an agent, because trust me when I tell you, agents are high-end activity in this business.
Of course.
Okay? You're going to make it. You just about need an agent. Okay? Now, if you're not in the union, getting an agent's going to be a slim to none. They don't want to be bothered with you. You don't represent any money to them. So you got to get in the union. That way you stand a chance of maybe, if you can kiss the right backsides, you might just be able to get yourself an agent. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you got to go through the process of getting an agent. Somehow or another, I managed to get past that step once I got in the union. I can't tell you how happy I was to land my union card. But it opened up doors. I got an agent. The agent actually hooked me up with what we would call an online casting system. Now, online casting systems are kind of like an online newspaper. There's one group putting out want ads. There's another group putting out, I need a job.
Right. And, okay. Like, what year was this? Like, when did you get your card and you had that moment? Like, yes, I got the card. When was that?
Now, that's going to be a hard question. I'm going to say somewhere around 2004 because I think I got my SAG card. There were two different unions. I got the SAG card somewhere around 2004. But that AFTRA, which is an acronym for American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, versus SAG, which is Screen Actors Guild, that's movies and TV. AFTRA is TV and radio. Ironically, T&E, Tim and Eric, are under the AFTRA logo.
Right.
Okay? So, I had my SAG card. Remember, I got my SAG card by somehow or another getting it. Once I got into the union, I was able to get an agent. She hooked me up with this online casting system. Online casting is where the middleman gets paid on both ends. He gets paid by the person who registers with them looking for a job, but he also gets paid by the people who are posting jobs.
Yeah,
so, that sounds like a sweet deal.
Okay, they're making out big time. But, see, it all comes together because I put my resume and my portfolio on there. It's like my resume built in, and so I'm scanning the want ads, so to speak, looking for jobs. So I find something that fits my profile, black man, good looking. Can't help but the good looking part.
Underline.
But let's look at it from this standpoint. Like I said before, I want to go back to this point where this is not a racist type of a game. It's a stereotype of a game. Let's face it. If they were looking for a midget,
they would find one.
It wouldn't do me any good to apply for that role.
No.
Okay. But
and was this Tim and Eric? Was this at this point?
There you go. Now you're getting where I'm going with.
So your big break into this world was Tim and Eric.
Was do.
Correct.
Amazing.
Now I have been getting different little jobs all along the way, but I think the thing that actually got me rolling was T&E, Tim and Eric, okay? I submitted for a role. Evidently, I felt I set that profile. So I submitted for the role. They gave me a call. They come in, we want to audition you. Which another word for audition is interview. Okay.
Right. What was the interview process like?
Well, I went to these guys. I didn't, and of course, you don't know what you're going into. Like I said, it's like going into any job, but they put a script in my hand. They said, read this. And I proceeded to read it, and it kind of threw me off because, you know how quirky their show is.
Yes.
So they've got quirky lines in it, in this script. So I don't really know how to focus on the lines. I just have to read and hope for the best. And somehow or another, things clicked. And evidently, it wasn't necessarily how I went about reading the lines they were looking for. They just wanted to see if I could just fit that profile they were looking for, you know, and then we rehearsed the lines later, okay?
Right.
And at that point, they decided, we'd like to use you on our show. And I'm thinking, oh, there's a guy. But at any rate, I'm still at the same time thinking, what the hell is this?
Right. Do you remember some of the lines that were on that initial sheet, script?
To tell you the truth, I cannot remember those lines.
Okay.
But they were bizarre.
They were a little bit out there, yeah. They were a little bit off the beaten path.
And the first segment, was the first segment do-do-do-do?
That was, yeah, ironically, that was the very first segment, you know. And here's a little something for you to chew on. They had to suit me up see, these guys are brilliant.
Yes.
Kikini are brilliant.
Yeah, so your costume, right?
Yeah, they had to come up with a costume. And would you believe they were actually looking to put a wig on me?
No.
That's what I said too. Oh, shit, no! No, they actually, I can only thank the stars. They decided, no, we're not going to use it.
What was the wig? What kind of wig did they want to put on you?
It was some kind of a long, girly-looking, I can't quite remember, but if I'm not mistaken, it was white hair or something.
So they almost put a long, white-haired wig on you.
Yeah, man. And then they put it on. I think Eric says, no, let's go without it.
Okay.
I'm so thankful.
That's some definite deep Ron Ostar / Pierre Trivia for that first
for the fans. Yeah, that's great. So, okay, so you come on set and you're in the gold outfit, right? And,
this was touching on the gold outfit. Yeah. That was my second question. What the hell is this? What do they try? They think I'm MC Hammer or something.
Did you say anything to anyone, or were your thoughts?
Like were you wondering what did I get myself into at this point?
Well, that always occurs to you in the back of your mind, but then you want to try to go along with the flow, go with the flow until at some point you run into a brick wall or something. Like for instance, you said, "Hey, we want you to get naked." I'd have said, wait, hold. Freeze.
We have seen you. Dylan and I, and I know you just saw it today, Ron. You just rewatched the Dream Cream segment.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, and so that's the most naked you've been on screen.
Well, hey, you know what? I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But, there's some things that I'm going to say. Keep your eyes peeled. And,
there's some new stuff. Okay, let's save that to the end because that's the really juicy stuff. But it's okay. So I want to know juicy. Okay, so you're on set and you're doing do 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 for the first time. So did they come with the song? Was the song already made for you?
I'm glad you asked that. I was just going to say. Now, just keep in mind. Once again, I'm going to reiterate. These guys are brilliant.
Yes.
Everything you see comes from their minds. Every episode you ever saw and any skit you ever saw comes from, they create that in their minds. These guys met, they're about history that goes back. They met in college and da-da-da-da-da. I really don't know. I love them dearly. But they put me in this costume. See, evidently they know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but I'm just going with the program because I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
The keyword is
paid. Green.
They put this script in my hand and they said, we want you to sing these. Basically, this is where my musical part of it comes into.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to read these lines. This is to be the song, Doo 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 Doo. And I, first thing I'm thinking is, Doo Doo what? Hey, but at any rate, as I said, I'm going with the flow and, so I'm reading these lines, and they weren't making sense, but I'm still reading the lines as the music sort of played behind it. And what they want me to do, now remember, what I've had to do is come out of body. I am no longer Ron Oster. I am this character known to the world as Pierre.
So wait, when did was the character on the script named Pierre?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they had written. Okay. They had written this character,
and all the lines were just from the script. Like, did you come up with anything? Like the
basically,
meat,
Dylan's
the meat
asking.
I want to know about the meat.
The did you improv? How much of it is Ron Ostar? How much of it is Tim and Eric?
Well, that's what I was getting ready to tell you here. Okay. As an actor, you have to come out of body and become whoever the character might be that you portray.
Yes.
Okay. So the first question in my mind as an actor or any actor would be, who is this person and what is he all about and what do they expect from this person, okay? And at that point, I decided, okay, now as an actor, you come out of body and you have to ask yourself as an actor, who is this person? What do they want from this person? And you have to use whatever you have within you to become that person. Now, yes. I like to think of myself as a cool guy, got a little bit of style.
Agreed.
And a few other little details. And I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to take these little qualities and I'm going to form this character that they seem to be looking for. Now, especially with this suit, you know what I mean?
I mean,
let's face it, with a suit like that, you got to try to be cool a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I got a little bit of cool and I'm just going along with the program. I'm going to put Ron Oster into this character they call Pierre. So, and especially with this MC Hammer looking suit, I want you to know that bugged the shit out of me, but.
But you know, you're right. You made it look cool. So, okay, so you're forming the character, and then when does the sort of magic moment happen?
The magic moment happened when we went onto the green screen. Okay. because at that point I am now a character known, will be known to the world as Pierre, and I'm going to be using, it's Ron Oster, a.k.a. Pierre. So you, what you're going to be seeing in me is the cool part of me in this crazy outfit, reading lines and running a script, running from a script that was prepared by these guys. And I'm by the way, before I forget, I want you to remember one thing. That song, Doo Doo Doo, in case you didn't know this, won Funniest Song of the Year for 2007.
From who? From who? Who was it, who gave it that award?
Mashable
gave it the funniest song of the year for 2007.
I guess you know who she's talking about.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
It's a website.
It's a website.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Funniest song of the year for 2007. Now, that, I think, was pretty spectacular. I was really proud of that, and I'm sure they were, too. But,
And did you, like, did you, the melody of the song, how, like, did you add anything to that? You know, how much did you construct the tone of the song?
It reminds me a lot of Curtis Blow, The Breaks. Did you ever get that comparison?
I can't say that I do, although I do know Curtis Blow. What's that?
She
says that that's where they got the beat from, so hey, now one thing about her, she knows music. So if there's anything I need to know, I generally, and not that I need to know anything, but if I need to know it, I look to her. She knows her. She knows her music.
Both you and London know your stuff. You get, you know, you guys have really good good roots for sure. For sure. Did you like sing the melody and then they went with it? Is that how it happened?
Or was it like the beat was already there?
Or did they sing it to you?
And you just heard it through a speaker, like boom, boom, boom.
There you go. He's got that down. I like that. Hey, I like that, dude. Hey, but that's exactly what was going on, because see, they were cueing me from behind the behind the glass while I was on the screen, and they would cue me. At a certain point, I would start to read. Are you ready, Camps? Do 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 do. And this on and on and on from there, and somehow or another, it just sort of fell into place. And I really got a kick out of the end part there, how they actually dressed it up. Like I said, these guys, I just can't help but to love them, how creative they are. But if you remember the part that goes, why'd you bring this sweet and rotten meat in here of all places? Kids, you stupid. Da 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 da.
Yeah, because you do some swearing in some of the episodes, you know. You're saying the F word, you know, like, what the fuck is this,
like,
right?
Like, Pierre is a very passionate fellow,
passionate character.
He's a man. You know, he's a little perplexed by what's going on. You know, like, why do the kids bring the meat?
Well, you know, here's the thing about, I don't know where they, how they came up with this. Like I said, I'm fascinated by how they come up with these things they come up with.
Yeah.
But they created this character who, ironically, has a certain flair for dads.
Yes.
We wanted to ask you about that.
I want
to
meet that dad. Right.
Okay, and I'm thinking,
what's your dad like?
And I'm thinking, that's a little bit off the beaten path, but what's your dad like? Okay.
Yeah, Dylan and I say it to each other all the time, Ron. Like, it's become something of a, like, it's a cultural meme. It's a, you know, it's a slogan. It's I say to, hey, Dylan, what's up? What's your dad like? It's like saying hello nowadays.
And I'm glad to hear that too, because up in your neighborhood, they've got this thing that I learned you use a lot. It goes,
Hey. What's up, eh? No.
That just blows me away. But it's along the same line, you know? And I just can't get over how people not only did they take to the character, but they took to his lines. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of questions like, keep your meat ice cold. And, don't eat that meat. It's rotten meat, you know. And
right.
And what's your dad like?
Right.
And
right.
People just
on the street. So you get a lot of. I imagine you get a lot of on the street recognition, right?
I won't say a lot, but I can honestly say that I do quite frequently find myself being recognized. Not only through my look. I mean, they know who I am from seeing me, or they can actually hear my voice. Mm-hmm. and they'll recognize that voice. You know, I always thought, man, I got a crappy voice.
No, never. I don't want to hear that from you.
I would argue and say that your line is one of the most popular lines from Tim and Eric.
No, and your voice is as important to the Tim and Eric universe as Steve Brule and David Liebehard and James Quall. David Liebehard, who we had on the podcast as well, who's another, just amazing soul, just like you, Ron. So that's where you fit in for people like us is, you guys, you have a special place in this universe that we love.
You're basically like sort of in our heads because we keep going back to Tim and Eric's stuff as like a sort of basis for a new comedy. And we're fascinated by what was created, and that's why we're really grateful to talk
Ron,
to you about
so,
all
you
this.
So the main thing is like Ron, what are your impression of the fans that you interact with?
I love them dearly. I can only say that they took to me or the character like a fish to water.
Yeah.
For some funny reason, The world seems to have fallen in love with this character known as Pierre. And if you can imagine how that makes me feel on the inside, I get this warm feeling. If you can imagine, I don't know how to describe the feeling, the emotion that I have for knowing that from the very beginning, when this thing was very first, it's a creation.
Yeah.
And it was a collaboration of what we'll call the creation on the part of not only the creators. When I say creators, I'm saying they created the character, but then they had to bring in a certain person, mm-hmm. which turned out to be me, mm-hmm. who had to fit that role. And so I sort of created it from the inside, and they were creating it from the outside. So together we created this masterpiece, if you will.
Okay? I agree. I think it's a masterpiece. And so in future segments... when the character, because like, you just basically, they loved you as Pierre so much that you are Pierre in so many different sketches, right? You know, we have the famous All the Food is Poison song.
All the Food is Poison.
With the girls. Yeah. We have Dream Cream.
Diarrhea Fram.
We have Diarrhea Fram with Jack McBrayer. You playing yourself, I guess the only other character you've played as the female Pierre.
It was like your wife, and it was just you in a wig.
You saw that.
Of course.
Oh, my
God. We've seen it all.
As they say, OMG.
So the one day where you played with a wig, where you acted.
You were wearing
a wig
that day.
Yeah, and I can't, and to this day, I can't live down the fact that for some reason or other, London tells me I was one of the ugliest women she's ever seen.
Sometimes that's more of a compliment than an insult.
Well, I like to look at it. Did you ever see that movie? There are a lot of guys out there, and I'll give you an example. Dustin Hoffman played a role they called Tootsie. I like to think that I have that ability, I think if I shave a little closer, I could probably be a better-looking woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I run that razor a little closer to the cheek. But I like to think of it as what we'll call versatile, being the ability to be able to change up, that I love it when I can actually walk up on a person and they'll not even realize who I am, mm-hmm. until I actually pop out on them and they're saying, oh my gosh, it's you,
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that in Pierre's world, he fell in love with someone who happened to look identical to him, like the female version of him.
Let's not get quite that deep into it there. I don't think she's a great looking woman either. But I think she's a cool girl because, for one thing, it's like taking a part of what you probably heard the term Adam's rib.
Yeah.
And that's a biblical term. Adam's rib. It's just like she's actually, they're one and the same, except one is a female, one is a male, okay? But I enjoy the FX, what do you call it? FX
behind,
special effects that they use behind the scene. Did you ever see the Crimbus special?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
which I'm going to be talking about when I hit the road there. I'm going to be talking about how the squirrel dragged my leg off there, but I enjoy special effects, okay? And those special, by the way, special effects pays you more money, so you know I really get into that.
Right, because you got to, they have to put you all, you know, it takes more time out of your day, right?
Well, no, it's because it's more involved. Like, for instance, when you chop off a hand, you got to see a bunch of blood squirting out, okay? Mm-hmm. Now,
so the
there's
pay,
a way
pay scale to, goes up.
But thank you. That's what I'm driving at.
Yeah.
The more intense it becomes, the higher the pay. That skit we're talking about where I was playing the man, the female, and the male, and we gave each other a little kiss.
Yeah.
It's fascinating how they do that kind of a thing, because if you're behind the scenes or you know behind the scenes work, they use a little, what we'll call a fishing line. You can't even see it. And there's a little piece, they put a little piece of tape right at a certain point on that where your lips are. Now, I kissed that little piece of tape from one side as a man, and then I kissed that same little piece of tape from the other side as a woman.
Right.
So that's how they do it.
Yeah.
And the same shot, same frame. They keep the camera where it is, and they shoot it twice.
Yeah. And so you really can't see it. All you see is two people, two lovebirds kissing, okay?
Right.
That's brilliant.
Like I said, it's a fascinating world, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have been able to work in that industry.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've got one little peeve right about now. I'm not rich.
Yeah.
I'm still poor.
We got to change that.
Yeah, Ron, we're gonna try and help. You know, that's part of the point of the podcast is we're, you know, we want people to talk about, you know,
these what amazing people
where they want to go after Tim and Eric. Like, what, you know, did Tim and Eric open up some new areas of showbiz work for you?
That's why I love you guys, man. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to put this out there for me. Let the world know that I'm looking to go from here to the top. And, you know, we've got little ideas along the way. Like, for instance, someone brought up the idea of having a Ron Oster show.
Yes.
I think that would be a fascinating endeavor.
What kind of show, Ron?
Well, you know, that's a cool question because I want it to be somewhat of a variety show. You know, sketches and skits, kind of like the T&E show, but Ron Oster is the host. And you might have seen a few other shows out there. There's a show that you might have seen called Eric Andre.
Oh, yes, of course. Have you been on Eric Andre?
No, actually, I was supposed to have been. I don't know what the heck they were thinking, but I think they missed the cue because it was supposed to be Ron Oster, not Eric Andre.
You know what, Ron? That's not the show for you because that's a very straight. That's even weirder than Tim and Eric in many
ways.
He does
things
I don't think you've seen.
You've seen it, right? You've seen the Eric Andre show. Have you seen it?
I am so glad to hear you say that because I watched it. And I'm thinking, Ron Oster, a.k.a. Pierre, has a little bit more, shall we say, pizzazz, a little bit more. He's not quite that.
More integrity.
It's a very violent show.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. You got the right word.
It's a little
more style.
It's sort of meant for a certain audience. It's got a certain
directive
that maybe most people probably wouldn't even be able to do.
It's not, you know, it's not a good, it wouldn't be a good, that show wouldn't have been a good use
now,
of
we
Ron's
love,
talents,
we,
I think.
We
though.
Love that show. I particularly do enjoy what he does, but I don't think there's anyone else. I don't think there's anyone in the world who can do what he does, like walk around and harass people on the streets.
Well, you know, I was going to say, you know, I'm glad to hear that you say you love it because I'm going to say I'll be straight up and I don't want to take it, you know. It's not
your cup of tea.
It's certainly not for everybody. And that's what I tell people about a lot of shows that I watch, Tim and Eric being one of them. So you either understand it or you don't. And that's why you have people who love what you do and what you did on Tim and Eric because it only makes sense to certain people.
So Ron, so, you know, Absolutely Productions, which, as you know, is T&E's production company. Have you ever like set up a meeting with them and
said,
hey guys, like I have this idea.
Because I think they would be open to
the Ron Oster show or even perhaps the Pierre show.
The Pierre show.
Well, you know, I don't like to, you know, at some point in time, I feel like I might. I've introduced a couple of ideas to them, to T&E, but I don't want to feel pushy, you know.
Sure.
I let them make the decisions, you know. At one point, I recall Eric was actually had the idea of bringing my musical singing group into the project, you know, into one of his projects.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would have been fascinating, but it never materialized, and I didn't push it. But I like to leave them to their own ideas, you know.
Yeah.
And if they feel that they that I have something to offer along that line, then I think it would be a great opportunity for not only them, but for me, and also an opportunity for you as the audience to be able to have something new to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the, in the meantime, I was really looking to try to hit Adult Swim.
Yes.
You know Adult Swim? Adult Swim. They're based out of, I think they're based out of Atlanta. Somewhere
Georgia. They're
there.
Based in Atlanta, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I wanted to go and connect with them. So we had come up with a few different ideas, my rep and I, and a few. And, but we had, you know, it's kind of, a, it's the same as trying to get a union car.
Absolutely.
Okay? Trying to get in the doors of Adult Swim.
The same
now,
conundrum.
I really shouldn't have that problem. What's that?
The same sort of conundrum of like, you need this to get this, well, but you can't have this until you have that.
Exactly, exactly. And see, the one thing that I figure, I should not have to be running into that stumbling block with Adult Swim, because one thing I found out is there are some of the staff, Adult Swim staff, seem to love the character Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be my...
That's your unfair advantage. That's your advantage, Ron.
That's what I like to think of, you know what I'm saying? Some of those people, if you'll notice, there are certain, they put that character on quite a bit. They run Pierre, which is great for me now, residual-wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, residual.
Yes.
But and yes. I love it. You know, seems to love Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is a feather in everybody's cap.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, Ron, I even see, like, you know, it could be an internet show. You could have, you know, somebody could just do it. Just do it, and then it could become a TV show. That happens all the time these days.
You know, I do know of a few characters out there, a few shows out there that are like that, you know. I just kind of hate to have to start at a, you know, a hopeful level, we'll call it. You know, hopeful. You know, we start out at that. I think I'm more advanced than that. I've been in this business too long. I've been in this business...
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me how long I've been in show business, I'm going to say close to 50 years.
I totally understand what you're saying in terms of, like, not necessarily wanting to work for a lower pay scale when you've done your time. So you want to sort of make sure that you go into this with the right foot, with the right footing, you know?
Let's just put it this way. As a term I use quite often, I have paid my dues.
Yes, Ron. So, okay. so you've paid your, you know, I, you know, will definitely, you
agree.
Know,
agree with that.
We agree, and you know, we look forward to seeing because
what's
we're,
next?
What's next? So let's get to that juicy stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're saving it. We were saving it. Let's break it out. What's happening next for Ron?
Knock it down. Knock it down. Well, right now. There's a project we've got on the board there that is what we'll call top secret, and I hate to have to do that to you.
Oh, okay.
Because you know I love you, right? You know I love you, and I would love to be able to... But,
give us,
you know,
give us
I'm
a few
so,
hints. Give us a clue, a hint.
What?
Okay.
Is it Tim and Eric related?
No.
No. No, says London.
Here's a hint. You are just going to roll out in the floor laughing.
Okay, R-O-F-L.
That well, that's a good sign.
Yeah. ROF, whatever that is.
Rolling on the floor laughing. It's ROFL.
It's an internet acronym.
I can guarantee you, you're gonna ROFL.
Okay. Dylan, we're gonna try and see what we can get out of Ron. I know London, you're sitting right there. You're listening. You can censor whatever. But okay, is it on? Am I gonna see it on television, or is it on television?
She's kicking the shit out of my shin bone, man.
Okay. So that's off. That's off.
We don't want to pry.
Go ahead, London. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
I was saying for contract reasons, you can't say so. But it's okay. Really big. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Really big.
We want to respect that.
Will we see it soon?
Well, that's somewhat of a dilemma. I was just trying to figure out when you get an opportunity to see it. I can't say exactly what the date will be.
Mm-hmm. I say within the next 6 months.
Whoa.
Next 6 months. Yeah. Okay, there we go. That's a good piece of information for the fans. Next 6 months, something big from the world of Ron All-Star.
Can we ask that when you guys are authorized to talk about it, you let us know?
Let's talk about Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. Okay. So around Comic-Con, we're gonna follow up with you with maybe like a quick short interview.
When's Comic-Con?
Comic-Con is going to be Thursday, July 20th through Sunday, July 23rd.
Oh, okay. Ron, you're going to Comic-Con?
Well, I had initially planned to be there. We are running into some...
We'll still be there, but we just won't be doing what we originally planned, but we will be on the premises.
Okay, you'll be on the premises.
We're hoping to be able to do more than we are actually at this point in time able to. But all I can say is we'll have to see how it works out there. Mm-hmm. You are familiar with Comic-Con then?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
sure.
Okay, yeah. I'll be in San Diego here shortly. And like I said, I don't know where we're going to go, how far, what direction we're going to go with it. She probably has more detail on that than I do. Mm-hmm. But primarily, I would love to be able to see all the fans, as many fans as I could possibly muster up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a lot of handshaking, a lot of hugging, and a lot of doo-doo-doo. And
of course.
A lot of eating rotten, well, hopefully not eating a lot of rotten meat down there, you know.
I hope no rotten.
Well, as long as you keep it cold.
I didn't have any rotten meat in San Diego. And you know what? I hope that you don't have that. Good beer. Very good beer in San Diego.
But if you keep the meat cold, I mean, it shouldn't go rotten.
Keep the meat, keep the beer cold, and it's all good.
I think one of the most prized feelings in my heart is the having had the opportunity to be what we'll call a mentor. You know, a mentor?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Children's mentor, huh? They're teaching them how to dance and teaching them philosophy and teaching them different things, and everybody seems to react to it. In fact, the show is at this point in time in its 10th year anniversary period, and it's kind of hard to believe that after all this time we're still rolling hot and heavy.
Hey Ron, you're talking to us. You know, this is a brand new podcast, and you know, we're still in love with your work.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what takes my breath away, because whatever it is, as I look at you guys, I realize you guys were 10 years younger than you are now.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
I'm
10 years younger, too.
Yeah. You still look the same, though, Ron. You look exactly the same.
You think so?
The same handsome man that we were captivated by back then.
Oh, hey. Once again, don't say anything. Let him talk.
Yeah.
Keep going.
That's what I do. That's what I do with my dulcet tones. But Ron, so here's some interesting questions to sort of to bookend this interview. So obviously, people come up to you and say, you know, all the food is poison. You know, keep your meat ice cold. What's your dad like? You know, all the catchphrases that one would get with someone of your sort of iconic status. Right. What are some of the stranger questions that you've received?
That's a hell of a question there, guy. I don't know.
Anything stands out? Any fan interactions or stories?
Any interactions
with your fans? Any that stand out to you? Any moments with fans?
Well, you know, I think one of the most impressive things to me, as people recognize me, is that look that seems to appear on their face when they're saying, you're, and they go into a, and I know where they're going with this.
Yeah.
I'm realizing they know who I am, but they can't quite get it out. For one, they're in a state of shock. You know what I mean? You know how you see a movie star walking on the street or a TV star or something, and and you realize who it is, and you just go into this mode. And I think the second most thing is when people actually, as I said, there have been people who have identified me by hearing the voice. They didn't know who they were looking at, or their back was to me or something, but they heard this unique sounding voice. And I think that blows me away even more than when they recognize me, is when they actually recognize me through my voice, because it tells me at that point I do have what we'll call, what I coined, a unique sounding voice. And I used to, like I said, there was a time when I used to not be all that happy with my voice, except to say that in the musical world, I have the ability to change my pitches. You know, they've got what we call tenor, baritone. I have the ability to go to a falsetto. I've always appreciated it. I love that so dearly. You know, you ever heard of a fellow named Smokey Robinson?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the Miracles. And the Miracles.
Hey, now, Smokey would be my idol, okay?
He's almost as handsome as you, Ron.
Well, I was going to say, you know, that money probably makes him a little bit more handsome than me.
he doesn't have a worry.
Well, I was going to say, in fact, he's another one of my idols, and I actually, some of the songs that I emulate are his songs, and I can hit them to the note. I can sound so close to him that you actually think that it's him. I enjoy that, you know? But that's due in part to this funny-sounding voice that I always thought was a little bit too high-pitched or feminine-like. But I realized as I got older, I now have the ability to not only take it to the top or drop it to the bottom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a good skill to have.
I can't do that.
Hey, it's fascinating. And at the same time, like I said, I realize now that it's a unique, recognizable voice. So I am very, very happy now to have this voice.
We want more of it on screen. We want to listen to it. We want more Ron. That's the bottom line.
Well, now here's the cool part about it.
Yeah.
You're going to hear different pitches because depending on who the director is,
yeah,
or what they're paying me to do, you might hear me go up high.
Oh my God.
You might hear me up low. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the primary voice is the one you hear me talking to you in now. So whatever you think of that voice, if you have any kind of a like for that voice, I appreciate it.
We definitely appreciate that kind of talent because we don't have it and you do. But Ron, here's one question that I ask everyone on this show, on Rim Crim, which is, you know, one of the nonsense terms invented by Tim and Eric on their beatboxing segment. I don't know why I just said all that. But anyways, what's it like to get a hug from Eric Wareheim?
That's an interesting question. Let me see if I can put that into words.
Yeah, because I know it would be really warm and magical, but what do you, like, what's it like?
I don't know. It's just, now how are you... Break that down for me a little bit. I mean,
after a sketch, you get a good take in, and he comes up to you and he says, "Thanks, Ron," and he gives you has he ever given you a big hug before?
Well, I always like to think that I'm the one doing the hugging. Whenever I see those guys, I give them a hug because I love them. I always tell them, "Hey, I love you guys," and they reciprocate by hugging back. And I recall one time, I don't know why, I'm a much smaller guy than Eric, but I think it must be in the strength of my hand or something, because I remember one time I walked up to him, gave him a hug, and I slapped him on the back. He's, "No!"
So you're
a
sensitive fellow.
He's a sensitive fellow, yeah.
I was starting to say, now, wait a minute.
Well, Ron, you're a passionate guy is what you are.
Well, you know, I love them. Like I tell them, I love them dearly. And I really appreciate the fact that they were put on this earth, because I'm what you call a very philosophical fellow. You know, I believe in what we call, the word I like to use a lot is destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny, as I break it down when I get philosophical, is to say that it's a path in life. Mm-hmm. And I do believe, as I coined the phrase, life is circumstantial. That simply means, when I get philosophical, that means certain circumstances put you in certain, on a certain path in life. Like, for instance, here's one way I like to put it. I like to, this is a good example. If by any chance you stepped off that curb about the time that big city bus comes rolling through and you end up under it, I'd say you made a bad call.
Yep.
And at the same time, if you got off from work one day and you were hot and sweaty and you just felt like you needed a nice cold beer or a cold drink, you decided to stop by the little store to get yourself a nice cold beer, and you're standing there waiting to pay for that beer or your soda or whatever it is, and you're looking down in the counter and you're seeing these lottery tickets, and you're looking at them, and something in your mind is saying, I'm not a gambler, but today I feel kind of good. I'm just going to throw an extra dollar down, you know, and buy a dollar scratcher ticket. Mm-hmm. And for some strange reason or another, you scratch that baby off three places, say $10,000.
Yeah.
I'd say you made a good choice that day. Life is about choices, and it's your destiny, you know, mm-hmm. because if you hadn't gone into that store, you'd have never gotten that ticket. Well, same applies here. If these guys had never met somewhere along the way and I had never come up the ranks like I have, you know, our paths would have never crossed. Did you see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And if their paths had never crossed, you would not be sitting here talking to me, Ron Arthur, a.k.a. Pierre.
Absolutely. So, Ryan, that's an absolutely beautiful way, I think, to cap off this interview. You know, is there anything you'd like to sort of plug or tell the people about before we go?
You're back on Facebook.
Well, as I was saying, number one, for anyone that might be listening, I am on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to invite everyone who might be listening to this to join, come on over, hit me up, and be a friend. The more friends I got, you know, the more friends I appreciate having, and the better I look, especially when it comes to trying to get myself my own show.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this once again, as I spoke about destiny a moment ago, you just never know who you might run into. And for all we know, one of your listeners out there might be the key to my greater success.
We hope so.
This is what we're definitely hoping for. And we really do want to see you, you know, move up the.
We want to see more Ron. That's what we
want. Ron?
We want more Ron in the world. So,
and
we're gonna keep posted on the world of Ron and London. We're definitely gonna keep in touch with you guys. Keep us posted about what's coming through next. We look forward to this big, juicy, top secret project that we're now waiting in anticipation for.
We're definitely intrigued. So.
And we wish you guys all the best. And London, thanks so much for setting up this interview. And
oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. And I really hope we get to talk again extremely soon.
Well, here's something I want to leave everybody with,
yes.
an idea. Now, this has been on my board. You know, I come up with quite a few ideas myself. You know, I'm quite creative when it comes to certain things, but especially when it comes to trying to boost my own image and put more money in my pocket. I'm thinking there's a show out there. I want everyone to look for. I want you to go on to, what is it, YouTube? There's a show out there, a YouTube show they call, get this, Dads on Duty. Dads on Duty. Now, see how it all ties in? What this show basically emulates is an opportunity to see what dads are all about. See how it ties in?
Yep.
You know, I think the word here is dad, okay? I think there couldn't be a better, I don't think there's a better candidate out there to emulate and work and talk about dads than yours truly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you ever see that show they call Full House with Bob Saget? He had a
classic
show called America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if we were to take that particular concept and have people to send me in clips, because once you go on YouTube and watch a few clips of this Dads on Duty, it'll all come to you, what I'm trying to say. People send in clips of dads and how some of them are single dads, and, you know, you can't help but to love a single dad who's trying to raise a kid. I mean, that just takes my breath away.
Or I miss the mom who's at home while mom's out at work.
Yeah. And they send, people take opportunities to send in clips like that to let of a particular dad. You know, I think they probably look upon it as an opportunity to express or show the world about this particular guy who and what type of a dad he is. It's really a cool program, but I'm thinking you take that funniest video episode concept, Ron Austin is the host, and have people to send in their videos of dads. See, and see how the key word here is dad.
Keyword is dad.
Since you know,
keyword is dad.
And since you, as you, since the keyword here is dads, and you know who specializes in dads, I think that would be a great opportunity to maybe bring people on the show and maybe award prizes to certain individuals for the funniest dad video. If you know where I'm going with this, so,
I do.
Put that out there to your fans and to your listeners. And
I have a couple of shameless plugs when he's done.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Linda.
We want to hear those.
I want to hear them myself. I want to hear this myself.
No, they all pertain to Ron. If you look at his Facebook page, you see they're posted the videos he did with Bart Baker. He's got a white Negro, I should have worn a condom, cupcake. You got to see all those parodies. They're up.
Okay.
And you also have to look up on YouTube Zombie Universe 2. Ron had a role in that.
That's a more dramatic role there. So I can't wait for you to see that one. It gives you a little bit. Most of the videos you see of me are the comedy roles, but this is a little bit more of a dramatic role. And she's saying Zombie Universe 2.
And now the last one I'm going to do is the biggest one, because this one actually was my baby along with Adam Carbone, Your Honor. That should be somewhere. It's if you go to YouTube, Your Honor, ? You have to type that in to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that Ron plays the judge there, and it's the quirkiest, most offbeat courtroom you've ever seen.
Okay.
That was my baby right there. That's the one I'm associate producer on there, and We filmed the pilot. We're still shopping and around waiting to get picked up. So Adam Carbone and I came up with that years ago, and we finally, back in 2014, got it together, got the cast together. We filmed it, had a great time. So we're still shopping it, but look that one up. Your Honor, ?
And we will. And we're gonna put links. We'll put links to all of those videos in the podcast description, so everybody can go to it, and everybody can go to Ron's Facebook page and learn more about you guys.
And once again, I think if you just go to Google and type in Ron Oster and hit the video button, it's going to give you a list all the different links that she's speaking of here, because some of them are quite hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And as she said, that particular project we worked on, she created with a young fella who's one of our fans, Adam Carbone. They put it together. It's called Your Honor. And
look out for Adam. He's up and coming.
Okay.
He's up and coming. You'll want to. Him, Sunshine Lee. You'll see a lot of similar air characters there. It's really a treat. You guys will really enjoy it.
Okay, we'll definitely link to Your Honor, and we can't wait to watch it, and I'm sure all the fans will get a kick out of it, too. But we'll definitely link to Beautiful Butterfly PR Services as well, London, so tell the world about all your wonderful work. But thanks again, Ron, for your time and for your wisdom and for your charisma and for your talents. And, you can sign us off here.
Well, hey, so thank you guys. I love you dearly. And, okay, now we've got Dylan and then, Corey. Okay.
That's me.
Listen, I want you guys to work to help me to reach the top, because one of these days, somewhere down the road, we're going to be looking back on this, and we're going to get together, and we're going to have a good old reminisce on how we had this little bit of a chat.
Absolutely.
And thank you guys very much.
We absolutely look forward to that. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, feel free to give us a shout out anytime you want, and I'll look for you on Facebook.
Absolutely. And guys, and on three, we're all going to say keep that meat ice cold, and we're going to sign off, okay? One, two, three.
Keep the meat.
Keep that meat.
Ice cold.
Ice cold. Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.